Welcome. Bienvenidos. Hola. Aloha. Ni hao. Namaste. Konnichiwa. Bonjour. Buongiorno. Sawadee karup. Guten tag. Jiao wee wee va cat bang. Half a day. Jai Janendra. Salam. Shalom. Peace. Now. Go vegan. Peace. How? Go vegan. From the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget Pharmaceutical Vivisection Prison Killitary Industrial Core Poor Nation, in the cheese-covered post-constitutional bankster-bankrupt corruptocracy-mocracy-criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, food-borne in the NRA, NSA, USA, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure do eat a lot of dead animal body parts, and a Wall Street-backed corporate diet of death, disease, and destruction is shoved down your throat. This is Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Broadcasting for 12 years as heard on Air America and CBS and Clear Channel radio stations, now nationally syndicated through GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. And I am kind of enjoying the government shutdown, or the gov-enronment shutdown. I don't know. I actually feel safer when the U.S. Congress isn't doing anything. Well, I guess that's usually the case. That's always right. But, you know, when it goes out of its way to say it's not doing anything, then I feel better about it. You know, I'm certainly not concerned about compromised food inspection services, you know, as if they exist anyway. And we will talk to a USDA whistleblower, Lester Friedlander, about that coming up in the program. I'm really not concerned about compromised food inspection. What I'm more concerned about is national defense. Countries around the world getting their cue from our policies. Somebody could actually say, you know, that some country could say it wants to bomb the U.S. because it actually uses chicken on its own people. You know, I mean, if we're going to, you know, think we're going to bomb Syria because it uses chemical weapons on its own people, and that was the excuse with Saddam Hussein. Why couldn't somebody bomb us for using chicken on our own people? Case in point, weapon of mass destruction. What is that chicken nugget? As reported in the American Journal of Medicine, researchers in Mississippi recently analyzed chicken nuggets bought from two national slashed food chains in the city of Jackson. The first nugget was about half muscle, with the remainder a mix of fat, blood vessels, and nerves. And also found were cells that line the skin and internal organs. The second nugget was 40% muscle, with the remainder a mixture of fat, cartilage, and bone. The study author, Richard DeShazo, MD of the University of Mississippi Medical Center, says you really can't call chicken nuggets chicken, quote, is really a chicken byproduct, high in calories, salt, sugar, and fat, that is a really unhealthy choice. Even worse, it tastes great, and kids love it, and it is marketed to them. End quote. Well, I mean, why don't we in this country view endangering the health of children as terrorism? Why isn't there some country out there threatening to bomb us because we use chicken nuggets on our own people? Spokesperson propagandist for the Al-Qaeda of food, the National Chicken Council, a nonprofit group representing chicken killers and marketers, Ashley Peterson, vice president of scientific and regulatory affairs, said, quote, chicken nuggets are an excellent source of protein, especially for kids who might be picky eaters. End quote. Well, who is a greater threat to your children, Al-Qaeda or the chicken industry? What's the difference? I mean, the so-called meat industry is basically domestic Al-Qaeda, a good source of protein, a good source of animal protein, but we now know through the largest study of diet and health ever, documented in the book The China Study, Professor T. Colin Campbell, that animal protein, and not much of it, is a carcinogen. So our domestic Al-Qaeda cell, the chicken industry, is saying that chicken nuggets are a good source, a great source of cancer for children. Great source of animal protein. Chicken products are also a great source of feces, toxic chemicals, superbugs, cholesterol, and other carcinogens, too. On its website, the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine lists the 5 worst contaminants found in chicken products. And really, chickens are a weapon of mass destruction. 9 billion of them are killed every year in this country to wreak havoc on the country, huh? Where were we? We were with the 5 worst contaminants found in chicken products. Number 1, feces. Chickens can soak in fecal soup for up to an hour before being packaged for consumers, says the Physicians Committee for Responsible Medicine. Wow, is that what you want to feed your family? Chicken soup? Huh? Chicken soup? Which starts as fecal soup? I don't think that's the cure for everything, as was the tradition of the past, huh? No, don't ladle it into a bowl on the dining room table. Ladle it into the toilet bowl where it belongs, where fecal matter belongs. Also in chicken products, toxic chemicals, parasitic acid and chlorine are commonly used by chicken processors to treat the other contaminants, what a mess. Perhaps you feel that your children aren't getting enough superbugs in their diet. Well, about 3/4 of bacterially tainted chicken products harbor germs resistant to one or more types of antibiotics, as we now see in a major outbreak of salmonella related to the wonderful animal welfare chicken company Foster Farms, huh? So if you think that choosing chicken flesh over cow flesh is a better choice for lower cholesterol, well, 4 ounces of chicken contain about 100 milligrams of cholesterol, the same as beef. And if you don't think that the chicken protein itself is not enough of a good way to feed your kids a carcinogenic diet, well, the arsenic regularly fed to chickens can help your family to develop lung and bladder cancer, killing them off prematurely and allowing you to collect on that big life insurance policy, huh? So there you have it. So, if you're looking to do something to collect that policy, no, don't use the gun. Feed more chicken. Is causing premature death, developing lung cancer and bladder cancer, is causing premature death killing? Is killing large numbers of people an act of war, an act of terrorism? Isn't Ronald McDonald the Bin Laden of our time? Aren't McDonald's and KFC with their sarin equivalent chemical weapons, chicken nuggets, our domestic Al-Qaeda? Shouldn't bomb crazy Obama be aiming his drones at the slaughterhouse and the true axes of evil, McDevils, Murder King, Wendy's, Kills Jr., Killing for Cash KFC, Jack the Ripper in a Box, pollo loco, huh? Ah, tiene que ser loco para comer pollo. Chick-fil-A, huh? Yeah. Fill another human casket and Popeye's chicken. I mean, Popeye didn't even eat chicken. He ate spinach to be strong. It's all also crazy, you know. And they are the true axis of evil, the domestic Al-Qaeda, who have already attacked other nations around the world, invading them. And, you know, I mean, it's downright crazy. It's demented, literally. The proof is there that, you know, developing countries are developing more Alzheimer's disease, as was reported by researchers in a new study published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. That was data analyzing population 65 and older in 9 countries, including India, China, and Brazil, shows a correlation between increased animal fat and calorie consumption and increases in obesity and Alzheimer's. The risk of dementia increases with obesity and increased intake of saturated fat, cholesterol, and iron. So, are we demented in the foods that we eat? The government will not protect you. You know, it will protect the corporations. There is no Foster Farms recall. There's no plant closure. The USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service reviewed Foster Farms safety plans for its 3 California facilities in Livingston and Fresno, supposedly Foster Farms is implementing new safety controls. It's supposedly been doing that over the past couple of months and is committed to installing added processes during an enhanced inspection period over the next 90 days. Well, I mean, isn't that just wonderful? But, Foster Farms making all its claims about how humane its tortured murder victim products are. Well, what is humane about poisoning people? Al-Qaeda can only dream of doing what Foster Farms has accomplished in the current outbreak of salmonella terrorism. Over 300 people have been sickened in 20 states in Puerto Rico, including California, New York, Texas, Florida, Virginia. The highest percentage of those sickened are in Foster Farms' home state of California. More than 40% of those afflicted have had to be hospitalized. The strains of Salmonella Heidelberg implicated in the current Foster Farms outbreak are resistant to commonly prescribed antibiotics. Coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, Arlo Taves at the grand opening of Viva La Vegan Grocery in Santa Monica. We have Michael Butke from the Veggie Grill in L.A. Talking about the Free the Animals conference. Lester Friedlander, whistleblower, and Gary Francione. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. I lose all sense of time when I'm on the radio, so I didn't quite tell you what was happening on the show today, but coming up immediately is Arlo Taves. He's at the grand opening of the Viva La Vegan Grocery in Santa Monica. Also this hour, we will talk to Michael Budke of Stop Animal Exploitation Now. He's with the Free the Animals conference happening this weekend and a protest at UCLA tomorrow. And he's at the Veggie Grill at 2025 Wilshire Boulevard until 9 p.m. 50% of the proceeds there today will go to Stop Animal Exploitation Now. Also coming up, Dr. Lester Friedlander will continue our discussion of Foster Farms outbreak. And Professor Gary Francione and I will talk about repudiating the Humane Society of the United States. Enough is enough. We are going to demand that groups who call themselves animal advocacy organizations repudiate the Humane Society of the United States, which is nothing but a front for animal exploitation, for butchers. And we'll get into that later. Right now, Arlo Taves, one of the owners of Viva La Vegan Grocery. I've been, you know, we've done many live broadcasts from Viva La Vegan in Rancho Cucamonga, and now it's the grand opening of Viva La Vegan in Santa Monica. How are you today, Arlo?
I'm great, Bob. Thanks for having me on. How are you doing?
Terrific, terrific. So you're over there on Ocean Park and 28th, and how are things going? Tell us about the new location.
It's great. For anybody that hasn't gone there yet, we've crammed quite a bit of items into a tiny little location, and this weekend is our launch party, and we've had quite a few people coming through. It's been fun, and we've also had people sampling different things periodically at different times. Sampling different vendors sampling what they do.
Mm-hmm. And what are people saying to you when they come in?
We're getting people are ecstatic about the fact that we're there. But one thing that we're getting a lot of is everybody wants us in their town. I'm getting emails. I'm getting contacts on Facebook. We're getting them with the phone calls. We're getting tons and tons of contact from people all over, not just the United States, all over the world. Then are saying, we want you in our town. And Isaac and myself, my business partner, that's our objective, to someday be able to be in every city, in every town, all over the world. We're just a couple of guys, though, and we've got two stores right now, and hopefully we're going to grow it into more. But we're just a couple of guys. We're not able to put them everywhere, but we're going to try. And I want to ask everybody to be patient with us.
Yeah, well, that's great that there's demand for a vegan grocery store. I know the Rancho Cucamonga location has over 6,000 vegan items, and people can also shop online at vivalavegangrocery.com. So, what are people sampling? What are some of the new hot and exciting vegan items that you're featuring?
Oh well, we've had several people. We had a tea company out. Oh man, I forgot the name. That's horrible. But it was a it's a tea with brown rice. It's got genmai. That's what it is. Genmai rice, which is like it has a rice flavor to it, to the tea. And then we also had Botan, their energy drink. It's a water soluble energy drink. They were out sampling. It's a really new product, and it's water soluble protein drink. It has 12 grams of protein in each one. We also have had Health Aid Kombucha has been out, and Oh Yes Pizza was out on Friday, amongst others. There was some local people that do local raw food also came out and sampled there what they do.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are the hours? It's a new vegan grocery store. You can go in and you don't really have to, bring the magnifying glass for the ingredients. Everything is vegan, 100% vegan. I mean, that's so exciting. So you're at 28th Street, 28th, and you're in Ocean Park in 28th in Santa Monica. And what are the hours?
We're open from 9 to 9. Hey, also, Bob, I like to also stress with all our customers that we go out of our way to try, and if we find out that a company that we're carrying is also selling GMOs, we are promoting the use of GMOs, we pull those companies. We try and not have them on the shelf. We want vegan is our number one thing, but we want to promote organic. We want to promote non-GMO. We want to promote, a more sustainable way of living and a better product for our customers.
Well, thanks, Arlo. We're just about out of time, and I'm telling people about the Foster Farms Salmonella outbreak. Plenty of chicken alternatives at your vegan grocery store. Viva la Vegan.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being with us. Arlo Taves. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. We'll continue. GoVeganRadio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. And I think we're trying to get a hold of Michael Butkey. We'll keep trying to get a hold of him. Maybe he's not hearing his phone ring because he's at the Veggie Grill right now at 2025 Wilshire Boulevard, 50% of the take today, the receipts, will go to Stop Animal Exploitation Now, which has been presenting the Free the Animals conference in Los Angeles with a march, a protest tomorrow at UCLA. So we'll see. We hope we get a hold of Michael here. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be talking to Dr. Lester Friedlander regarding USDA inspection and Foster Farms outbreak. And just wanted to let you know that if you're in the Bay Area, you're very lucky to be near one of the best vegan restaurants in the world, Vegetarian House at 520 East Santa Clara Street. The website is vegetarianhouse.us, 100% vegan, organic, non-GMO, many raw options. And Vegetarian House is catering. There's very large demand right now for vegan catering, and Vegetarian House has a lot of really happy customers around the Bay Area. So whether it's a small group or 1,000 people, whether it's a company gathering or a wedding, definitely look at Vegetarian House as your potential caterer. Food is great there. 520 East Santa Clara Street. Again, the website, vegetarianhouse.us, vegetarianhouse.us. Let me see. Where did I put the... I was looking at the situation with Foster Farms, which we will also discuss with Dr. Friedlander. Also have some issues related to horse slaughter. Important judge's decision coming up within the next couple of weeks, health issues and decisions being made by municipalities related to environmental impact of horse slaughterhouse in New Mexico. Well, we'll talk to Lester about that. But in terms right now of, you know, whether the government is functioning or not, or will protect you from corporations, it won't. You know, the USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service reviewed what Foster Farms calls its safety plans and decided it will not recall Foster Farms chickens, and it will not shut the plant down. As I said, Foster Farms is now responsible for an outbreak. Over 300 people have been sickened in 20 states and Puerto Rico. And what's interesting is that more than 40% of those afflicted have had to be hospitalized. That's twice the amount that one would normally expect in a salmonella outbreak. But the strains of this Salmonella Heidelberg implicated in the current Foster Farms outbreak are resistant to commonly prescribed antibiotics. They are resistant to multiple antibiotics. And again, no recall, no plant closures. And even though tests of 25% of chickens and chicken parts from Foster Farms were positive for salmonella, 2.5 times the allowable 10%. Now, doesn't that make you feel good? That's what's allowable, 10%. 1 out of 10 packages of chicken allowable to be positive for salmonella, huh? That's crazy, isn't it? It's demented. Inspectors at Foster Farms have found poor dressing, sanitary practices, unsanitary food contact surfaces, unsanitary non-food contact surfaces, and direct product contamination. No plant closures, no product recall. Oh, wait, there is a recall after all. Actually, a few stores are actually doing it. They're taking the responsibility on themselves. One Costco store, the Costco El Camino Real store in San Francisco, it is pulling nearly 40,000 pounds of rotisserie chickens and chicken products. Is that amazing that one store would have 40,000 pounds of chickens? I mean, what a holocaust it is. How many animals have to be killed to produce 40,000 pounds at one store location? I mean, this is what a massacre. You know, our war on animals that we don't see except on our plates. Whoa. Pretty amazing, huh? The Holocaust on our plates. What did I say? So the Costco is pulling nearly 40,000 pounds of rotisserie chickens and chicken parts. That includes about 9,000 Kirkland Signature rotisserie chickens, over 300 units of Kirkland Farm rotisserie chicken soup. Remember how we talked about chicken soup earlier, that it is actually a fecal soup. Rotisserie chicken leg quarters and rotisserie chicken salad. Fred Meyer and QFC now withdrawing Foster Farms chickens marketed under brand names Simple Truth Organic and Kroger Value. So there you have it. I guess, Matt, we haven't heard from, we're not hearing from Michael Budke yet. We haven't reached him. No? Okay. So coming up in the next hour, Professor Gary Francione. Oh, by the way, next week, you know, this whole Free the Animals conference was an anti-vivisection conference, and this is a pinkwashing month. You know, a lot of fundraising going on for Susan G. Komen and its scam of raising money for animal research. We'll have people on from PRISM next week to talk about that. And recently, the Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences, the one and only U.S. Military Medical School, announced that it will no longer use live animals in its undergraduate curriculum. The school that regularly tormented dogs in experimentation, it was the one that wanted to shoot beagles for medical training, you know, but that was stopped by public outcry. So, and it's a little hard to opt out of vivisection, you know, if you're in the military, since it's, you know, hard to, you know, have a mind of your own or whatever, you know, will of your own. So four medical schools still use animals. University of Mississippi, Johns Hopkins, University of Tennessee, Chattanooga, and the Oregon Health and Science University. So that is they. So coming up next hour, when we talk to Professor Gary Francione, he and I are having some ideas about approaching various animal advocacy organizations and asking that they repudiate the Humane Society of the United States, that, judging from its farmer outreach page. It has a farmer outreach page on Facebook that encourages the consumption of animals, although its own particular kinds of animal eating. So that's encouraging that, you know, like grass-fed and calling that sustainable, even though grass-fed produces 2 to 4 times the methane and will accelerate global warming. That's called sustainable. You know, slitting someone's throat is called humane. And the Humane Society of the United States is involved with this global agenda of action in support of the sustainable livestock sector development, and it's a member with international dairy, international egg, all of that. So if you look at the farmer outreach page, where's Daisy? Daisy's on my lap. Okay, come here, rescue chihuahua. Radio show in progress, baby. So I noticed something posted on the farmer outreach page of the Humane Society of the United States, which obviously shows it to be a front for the meat industry. HSUS speak. So here's the quote. "I'm a hog farmer, not a pork farmer or a pork producer. We took the animal out of the equation so that we are less sensitive," We've got to scroll down here. So that we are less sensitive to the fact that as farmers, we are the stewards of the animal. We've taken the hog out of the pork. And that's a quote from Joe Maxwell of the Humane Society of the United States, vice president, who's also a, he's a hog farmer. He's a meat industry co-worker of Wayne Pacelli, Paul Shapiro, and Michael Greger. So I do have a response to his quote there. Mr. Humane Society Animal Killer Maxwell, don't worry. The hogs never thought that they were taken out of the pork. Their pain and blood remind them that you don't farm or produce tofu sausage. You are not a pork farmer because pork is not farmed and grown from the earth like carrots, apples, or broccoli. You are a breeder and killer of the harmless and the innocent. You are not a pork producer. You produce nothing but misery, sickness, and environmental destruction, resource depletion, and waste. It is those whom you breed who do all the producing of babies, of flesh. The hogs never thought for a moment that they were taken out of the pork. They were constantly reminded by your stewardship, the forced impregnation by a serial rapist, the stabbing, throat slashing, and beheading by a serial murderer. A fine steward indeed. You and your organization certainly know how to serve animals. Well done. So you can see why Professor Gary Francione and I will be asking advocacy groups to repudiate the Humane Society of the United States. That's coming up. Also, Dr. Lester Friedlander coming up on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. If you'd like to make a tax-deductible donation, check out the website. Hit the donate button at goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, Twitter at Go Vegan Radio. Find me on Facebook in many confused places like Bob Linden pages, which are usually maxed out. There's a Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden page. Please like that. Unfortunately, there's probably another one floating out there. I'd like you to like the right one, but I can't even tell you which it is right now. As you can see, my social media life is as messed up as my real social life. We are on Go Vegan Radio, and we have Dr. Lester Friedlander with us today. Dr. Friedlander, doctor of veterinary medicine, was an inspector with the USDA for 10 years, actually trained other inspectors. I think he at times lately thinks the inspection process is a joke, although it's more serious than that when you look at an outbreak like Foster Farms. But we'll talk to Dr. Friedlander about that in our next segment. We have people, you know, instead of going vegan like they're supposed to for health reasons, environmental reasons, concern for animals, there's always somebody to say, oh, here's humane meat, or here's a meat that's healthier, here, try horse meat, you know, and now there are nutritionists out there claiming horse meat is healthier to eat. And I just do want to talk about the public health significance of horse meat for our friends who are in Japan and Europe, and you know there's an environmental decision being made next week in New Mexico regarding a potential horse slaughter plant and other rulings, and so much going on, and with horses and cats and alligators in this story. So help us understand the situation, Dr. Friedlander. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. Thank you for having me this evening.
Thanks for being with us. So talk about your current concerns, where we stand right now on horse meat and public health significance and all of the crazy things that go on with horse meat that people wouldn't even consider. Horses being fed to alligators and, you know, diseases stemming from that. And yeah. Take it away, Dr. Friedlander.
Okay. Number one is that a nutritionist claim that eating horse meat is a lot healthier for you than beef because it's leaner and it's a better nutritional product. But it's been reported that in racehorses alone, there's been over 118 different drugs found in the racehorses, and now it's up to 119. A horse that raced in Argentina last month was tested positive for cocaine, and cocaine wasn't on the original list, so now it's 119 different drugs found in racehorses. Ever since that the Food and Drug Administration in the 1970s declared that horses are companion animals like dogs and cats, they are not considered livestock. Numerous drugs have been administered in horses. And on the labels of those drugs, it specifically states not intended for human consumption. And a lot of those drugs, like I said, like butazolidine, okay, for lameness, is actually a carcinogen and causes anaplastic anemia in humans.
Okay, and the horses, other diseases
that people don't realize is found in horses. An alligator farm in Georgia, the alligators were fed dead horses that died, and the alligators got sick and died. When they did the necropsies or autopsies on the alligators, they isolated the West Nile virus. What happened was West Nile virus is transmitted through mosquitoes, and you're asking yourself, well, how could the mosquitoes bite the alligators? Well, the horses were bit by the mosquitoes. They got sick and died. And to get a cheap source of protein for the alligators, the alligator farmers then got the dead carcasses to the alligators. Alligator meat is a delicacy in the Deep South, in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama. So right there, you have to be careful eating alligator meat, especially if you don't cook it. You could get sick and die from the West Nile virus. People over in France and Italy got sick and died, and when they did the autopsies, they isolated that they died actually from toxoplasmosis. Toxoplasmosis is a public health significance, especially for pregnant women. They're told if you're pregnant not to change the kitty litter. The parasite is found in the cat feces. Well, what happened was they found out that these people that died in France and Italy actually ate horse meat that wasn't cooked properly. And it was traced back to horses that were slaughtered in Canada. And then it was traced even further that it was American horses that it originated from. The horses got it because the cats defecated out in the pastures, and that's how the horses picked up the parasite.
We'll continue with Dr. Lester Friedlander on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Greetings once again. Welcome to the second hour of Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Yes, we have expanded as part of our national syndication through the Genesis Communications Network, GCN. We're live Sundays between 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Pacific Time. We are so happy that you have joined us today. We're talking to Lester Friedlander, Doctor of Veterinary Medicine, who was with the USDA for 10 years, actually trained USDA inspectors, and is now a USDA whistleblower. And Dr. Friedlander, before we start talking about the Foster Farm Salmonella outbreak, just a couple of items left related to horse consumption. There will be an environmental ruling within about a week in New Mexico to see if a slaughterhouse can dispose of its waste or how it will dispose of its waste. And then there will be a ruling on whether that slaughterhouse can come into existence entirely. Is that correct?
Yes.
So
what we're waiting on for New Mexico Department of Environmental Services will look at the permit for discharge of all the waste that's going to be at that Valley Meats in Roswell, New Mexico. Mm. If they deny that permit, I guess the company could actually use tankers and transport all the waste to another facility, but that's not going to be cost-effective.
Ah, okay. But what if the waste is allowed
and,
to...
And also,
how would it...
about the Foster Farms situation...
Oh, wait, before we get to that, though...
I think the three places should have been closed down, okay? Because, according to FSIS, they had problems with salmonella getting back in July, and the incidence for salmonella was up to, like, 24%. And actually, for FSIS, they feel that normally, for performance standards, you only be about 7.5%. So this was really very high there at Foster Farms, and that was back in July that they had problems with salmonella. Unfortunately now, look how many people got sick in several different states, over 278 people in 17 states, and it was all traced back to Foster Farms there in California.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think the number is well over 300 right now. Is there are new reports coming in, and so what I was seeing from Foster Farms here, it was said that inspectors at Foster Farms have found, quote, poor dressing sanitary practices, unsanitary food contact surfaces, unsanitary non-food contact surfaces, and direct product contamination. What would that mean to you as an inspector?
Well, that should have been well documented. It looks like it was. But like I said, the management at FSIS didn't really do anything about it. They should have shut them down. I mean... That's unbelievable that, that, like I said, for performance standards, it was over 24%, and according to FSIS, they're looking at only 7.5%. And also, according to the records, this was since July of 2013 that there was elevated percentages of salmonella found in Foster Farms products. So, obviously, Foster Farms didn't do anything until this outbreak. And now they're saying that they're cleaning up their act. But FSIS, you got to remember, is not run now by veterinarians. It's run by food inspectors. And what do they know? Even the gentleman, Dr. Englejohn, who made the comments there for FSIS, he's not even a veterinarian. He's only a glorified food inspector, a food technician. And... the administrator right now at FSIS is only a food inspector. Alfred Amanza, he only has a high school education. So, you know, veterinarians should take the spot as administrator, and they, if they were in charge, they would have probably shut the plant down because of all these violations. A lot of these people probably wouldn't have got sick or hospitalized. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no plant closure and no recall. Here's a statement from Foster Farms. Dr. Friedlander, on October 10th, Foster Farms said, USDA Food Safety and Inspection Service, FSIS, today reviewed Foster Farms' safety plan for its three California facilities in Livingston and Fresno. This follows Foster Farms' implementation of several new food safety controls over the last 2 months and the company's commitment to install added processes during an enhanced inspection period over the next 90 days. What could that mean, if anything? They're talking about, what would that indicate to you?
Well, Bob, you know, just with that statement that Foster Farms made, they said in the last 2 months they upgraded their facility, okay, to take care of that high percentage of salmonella. But they couldn't have done a good job because look at the outbreak that just happened. So what
really?
Are they doing 2 months? You just read it to me, right?
Yes. Yeah, I read it to you from Foster Farms. Yeah, this is on the Foster Farms.
In the last 2 months, they upgraded the facility to take care of that salmonella problem. They couldn't upgrade it too much because the outbreak just happened.
So, I mean, so it's not a very good excuse.
In the press release, Bob, in the press release, they didn't even say what their upgrade was or what they did. They didn't even mention what they did. All they did was make a statement.
Mm-hmm. And this strain of salmonella.
With all those people getting sick, the product should have been recalled. Okay, it should have been taken off the supermarket shelves and been recalled. And FSIS didn't even do that. So who are they working for? The industry, or are they working for the consumer?
It's pretty obvious at this point. I mean, this is a real outrage. No plant closure, no recall. There's also a statement from Dr. Ron Chapman, director of the California Department of Public Health and state health officer, who said, quote, the CDPH has not requested Foster Farms to recall chickens because with proper handling and preparation, this product is safe for consumption. Chicken is a raw animal protein that is expected to have some level of naturally occurring bacteria present. Cooking chicken fully to 165 degrees Fahrenheit will kill the bacteria present, provided that consumers do not cross-contaminate fully cooked chicken with raw chicken juices, whatever that would be. It is safe to consume. End quote. That is a California official, public health official.
Right. But, Bob, you got to remember also, okay, USDA inspectors and veterinarians were at those plants. They were federally inspected plants. They stamped that chicken. USDA inspected and passed for wholesomeness. How could it be wholesome if people are getting sick and hospitalized?
It shows major irresponsibility on the California health official, the federal health official. I mean, nobody's watching out for the public here. Although there is a very nice comment from Mr. Foster of Foster Farms. He's quoted as saying, all of us at Foster Farms regret any illness associated with our products. We have worked relentlessly to address these issues and will continue to do so as we work to regain consumer trust and confidence in the Foster Farms brand. On behalf of everyone at Foster Farms, that is my commitment to you.
Well, he should have made that commitment back in July when FSI has got the report and the salmonella was over 24% that was found in the product. So what did they do since July? And now this was just an accident waiting to happen. Okay, FSIS knew about it back in July, okay? And what did FSIS do about it? Nothing. Now all of a sudden, over 300 people are hospitalized and get sick because of salmonella, and it goes back to the Foster Farms in California. Mm-hmm. But FSIS knew about it back in July. So there is as fault also as Foster Farms.
Mm-hmm. So the USDA, Foster Farms, California health officials, I mean, nobody's looking out for the public here. Do you think this has anything to do with new experimental inspection procedures? I mean, over the past few weeks, I've been mentioning that the inspector general looked at a number of so-called pork processing plants. Yes. And has said that they're some of the worst in the country
I think that FSIS is giving more back to the companies and pulling USDA inspectors out of the plants and letting the companies now inspect more of their product. And that's what the major problem is. And this is going to revert back to when the book The Jungle was written, okay? There, the companies back then, okay, said that they can monitor and take care to make sure that the consumer gets a good product. And look what happened when the book The Jungle was written. That's why we had the first Meat and Poultry Act enacted by Congress. And now USDA is reverting back to it. They're giving more of the inspection back to the companies.
That is really amazing. You know, and what's interesting, too, the recent...
This is going to be ridiculous already. The consumer's health is in danger.
Yeah. Well, of course, I would consider the consumer's health in danger from eating what would be considered a healthy chicken, because animal protein is not healthy and there's the cholesterol and, you know, all of that. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to look at animal products as healthy right now. I know that Foster Farms recently has engaged in marketing campaigns to say that its chicken products are certified humane, and there are labels out there. I see something pulled from the market related to this recall that was supposedly an organic product. You kind of laugh when an animal product is labeled organic. I don't think you're buying into that.
Well, like I tell everybody else, okay, when you talk about organic, it's a label, okay? Unless you definitely know where it comes from, whether it be a relative, a next-door neighbor, a family member, you know what I'm saying, that raises it, and you know that there's no antibiotics, steroids, or hormones being given to these animals, then you can say, yeah, it's organic. But because the label organic is put on there, those people have a right to charge extra money for that. So it's a money-making deal when you label, like, humane, free, or organic.
Right. Dr. Friedlander, well, stay with us. I'm not sure if Gary Francia... Yeah, stay with us. We have to take a break. I'm not sure if Gary Francione is on next or we can spend some more time with you. So stay with us. We'll see what happens. If not, we'll have you on back next week. So stay with us. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. Go Vegan. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com, Twitter at Go Vegan Radio, and you know, try to find me on Facebook, Bob Linden, Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. And, well, we have Professor Gary Francione with us today. We've been looking at recent developments here at Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, related to the Humane Society of the United States and issues related to its farmer outreach page, which is verification that the Humane Society is really part of the meat industry. It recently demonstrated that with its partnership. There's a global plan to increase the sale of sustainable meat to meet the demands of a 70% increase, expected increase in demand for animal agriculture products by 2050. So it's very obvious that the Humane Society of the United States is synonymous with the with animal agriculture, and it showed that when it partnered with United Egg Producers in support of the Egg Products Inspection Act, where suddenly all of these animal organizations changed their positions. What was unacceptable to them prior to this, enriched cages, saying the psychological and physical welfare of birds is at great harm because of the enriched cages. Suddenly, the Humane Society of the United States, as a partnership with United Egg Producers, seemed to convince Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Over Killing, In Defense of Animals, the ASPCA, the Animal Legal Defense Fund, and Farm, the Farm Animal Rights Movement, to endorse basically concentration camps for chickens, which seemed like a mass betrayal of animals. And I would like these groups to you know, take stock of themselves now and repudiate the Humane Society of the United States. And oddly enough, this week, Professor Gary Francione, who does his regular weekly commentary on this program, really had the same thing in mind. This is very serious, because people whom we would expect to go vegan, you know, the low-lying fruit, those who are animal lovers and environmentalists and those really concerned about health and, you know, should be going vegan, but they're being given rationalizations now to eat certain kinds of animal products. And it's time that we set animal advocacy straight, Gary, isn't it?
Well, it's well past time, Bob.
Really?
But you know, in a lot of ways, this has been going on since the 1990s, and it's just reached an absurd point. But you know, in 2005, a letter was sent by so-called father of the animal rights movement, Peter Singer, was sent on his Animal Rights International letterhead to John Mackey of Whole Foods. The letter is very brief. It reads, "The undersigned animal welfare, animal protection, and animal rights organizations would like to express their appreciation and support for the pioneering initiative. Appreciation and support for the pioneering initiative being taken by Whole Foods Market in setting farm animal compassionate standards. We hope and expect these standards will improve the lives of millions of animals." And there were a number of signatories on that letter: Animal Rights International, Animal Welfare Institute, Animal Place, Animal Protection Institute, Association of Vets for Animal Rights, Bay Area Vegetarians, Christian Vegetarian Association, Compassion Over Killing, Doris Day Animal League, East Bay Animal Advocates, Farm Sanctuary, Humane Society of the United States, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Mercy for Animals, Northwest in Defense of Animals, Vegan Outreach, and Viva USA. Those are quite a few organizations all getting behind Peter Singer's expression of appreciation and support for the pioneering initiative, that is, the happy exploitation standards that were being promulgated, developed at that time, 2005, by Whole Foods. I, at the time, believed and continue to believe, and I think it's clear now, this was the inauguration of the happy exploitation movement. It was basically a declaration by the animal groups in this country, and it's spread abroad, but basically a declaration by these groups that they were abandoning the concept of animal rights completely. Not even any pretense any longer. They were abandoning it in favor of happy exploitation.
Okay, hold that thought. We will continue with Professor Gary Francione. We still have lots of time to explore these issues on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, goveganradio.com. Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. You can follow us on Twitter at GoVeganRadio. And so today we're talking to Professor Gary Francione. He does a regular weekly commentary on the program. And he's of Rutgers University, the first academic to teach animal rights theory in an American law school. AbolitionistApproach.com is his website. And, well, holy cow, Gary's list was so much bigger than my list. Gary tracing the Happy Meat Movement back to a Peter Singer letter, and so many groups whom you would not expect to support it, signing it. I think that I became aware of, you know, this insidious Happy Meat Movement more at around the time of Proposition 2, Gary, when HSUS wanted me to support it and wanted the radio show to support it, and I wasn't feeling it, you know, and I was having many conversations with Paul Shapiro, and he said to me, I said to him, you know something, why don't you and Wayne Pacelli come on the show with Gary Francione and me, and let's talk about this, you know, and he said, no, Bob, we need to be debating the animal agriculture industry, not debating among ourselves, and I said to Mr. Shapiro, I'm not sure if you're the animal agriculture industry or not, you know? And I have since come to the conclusion, with a vice president of pig killing as an employee of HSUS, its partnership with United Egg Producers, and its membership in the Sustainable Livestock Sector Development Program, it's become some very obvious, and I'm very upset with many of these groups, and I want to ask them to take a position to repudiate HSUS. What do you think?
Well, I'd like them to go further than that. I want them to repudiate happy exploitation. I want to get an animal rights movement back. We don't have one right now. And all of these organizations are just, you know, you have HSUS, and then you have all of the pale imitations of HSUS, all of the other groups running along saying, me too, I'm just like HSUS. And I think that's really got to stop. And I don't think you're ever really going to stop HSUS from doing that sort of thing, because they're a welfare organization. They've always been a welfare organization. They're continuing to be a welfare organization. And they're really a sort of a traditional welfarist organization, which takes the position it's all right to exploit non-human animals as long as you treat them humanely. And, you know, that's the classical welfarist position, which has been around for a few hundred years now. They are examples of that. They've always been taking that position. They're continuing to take that position. The problem is everybody else is following them now. And, you know, a few minutes ago I read that letter, and I gave that list of signatories to that 2005 letter from Peter Singer to John Mackey. And it's only gotten worse since then, because what's happened is Whole Foods has turned to an organization called the Global Animal Partnership to develop its happy exploitation standards. Now, this is from, I'm reading from the website. This is not my characterization. These are their words. Global Animal Partnership, a nonprofit charitable organization founded in 2008, brings together farmers, scientists, ranchers, retailers, and animal advocates. Now let me just stop there. These are my words, not their words. There is something really wrong when you're bringing together farmers, scientists, ranchers, retailers, and animal advocates. A diverse group with the common goal of wanting to improve the welfare of animals in agriculture. Our signatory program, the 5-Step Animal Welfare Rating Standards, recognizes and rewards producers for their welfare practices, promotes and facilitates continuous improvement, and better informs consumers about the production systems they choose to support. Now, when you go to the page that says about us, who are we? Well, the list of people includes John Mackey from HSUS, I guess that was a real Freudian slip. John Mackey of Whole Foods, and Wayne Pissell, Chief Executive Officer and President, HSUS. Wayne is on the board of this thing. And the executive director is Myoon Park, who used to be with Compassion Over Killing. And so now we have HSUS on the board of directors of the organization, which includes all of the institutional users, all of the farmers. And what they're doing is, and HSUS is putting its stamp of approval on these happy exploitation standards that Whole Foods promotes. And we have all, you know, and I'm somewhat stunned, because when I was at the so-called Animal Rights 2013 conference in June, I was told by people, including Bruce Friedrich and others, that they're not promoting happy exploitation, that I'm simply wrong to say they're promoting happy exploitation. That is complete nonsense. When you are writing letters expressing appreciation and support for standards of happy exploitation that you call pioneering, I'm sorry, to say that you're not promoting that in an affirmative way, in a normative way, is simply wrong. What this is encouraging, it's encouraging people to think that the problem is not that we're using animals, but simply that we need to treat them better. And then there's Whole Foods and everybody else that these organizations praise for their happy exploitation standards. They're right there telling the public, don't worry, you can continue to consume animals, and we'll make you feel good about that, because you're exploiting animals that have been treated well, that are not being abused in the, you know, we're dealing with the worst abuses of factory farming. They use a common language. They use a common language. So you have animal people now running around saying, we're getting rid of the worst abuses of factory farming. And what this does is reinforce the idea for those people in the public, of whom there are many, if not most, who think that the problem is bad treatment. You've got the animal people there basically putting a stamp of approval and saying, we're improving, the, you know, we're working to improve the treatment standards. You can feel good about continuing to exploit animals. You know, it was interesting this past week, Animal Place, a sanctuary in out your neck of the woods in California, Animal Place has been talking about a problem of several hundred hens and roosters that were seized by the Sacramento authorities because they were in really horrible shape. And it turned out that these animals ultimately came from a producer that had the Global Animal Partnership stamp of approval. And Animal Place is saying, well, you know, there are problems now with this Global Animal Partnership rating program. There are gaps in the gap, as it were. This is the cute expression they're using. There are gaps in GAP. And the problem with that is Animal Place was one of the organizations that signed that love letter to John Mackey in 2005. And I don't understand why my friend Kim Sterla, who runs Animal Place, I do not understand why she and her colleagues have anything to do with this, particularly now that they're identifying problems. But they're one of the people who signed on to that letter in 2005. And expressed appreciation and support for these Whole Foods happy exploitation standards.
Well, so, maybe we need to check in on all of these groups and see, because it's 2013. Maybe I'm hoping they feel differently and will want to express that. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, that's what I want, Bob. And I am making that call right now. I am asking my friends at Farm Sanctuary, at Mercy for Animals, at Animal Place, at Vegan Outreach, at all of these places, all of those groups, Viva. All of the organizations that
Compassion
signed.
Overkill. Well, I'm going. I'm bringing in the partners in the egg bill also. You know, which,
right?
It's an overlap. Farm Sanctuary, Mercy for Animals, Compassion Overkilling, and Defense of Animals, which since changed its position with a change in personnel. The ASPCA, which arranged a $150,000 grant to a turkey farmer, helped by Bruce Friedrich of Farm Sanctuary. What is going on here? And also, Gary, you know, I'm upset with Farm and Alex Hirschaft, who organized the so-called Animal Rights Conference, because years ago, I was condemned for trying to bring up these issues about HSUS. I was condemned, and HSUS keeps getting invited back to speak on panels called The Future of Animal Rights.
Well, you know, look, I mean, I've known Alex for many years now, and on a personal level, I like him very much. I disagree with him, and I think it's very clear. A number of us were told by Alex and Michael that that in the future they don't really want to discuss this rights welfare issue anymore. That they believe that the approach that Shapiro and Erica Meyer are promoting is really the welfarist happy exploitation program that they're supporting is really what Farm is going to promote in the future. So I guess neither of us will be speaking at future conferences talking about.
I'll be speaking with my megaphone out front, probably.
Yeah, that's right. I'm calling on all of these people. If in fact you don't support happy exploitation, if in fact you really believe in veganism as a moral baseline, because that's what they say. They say they believe in it, even though they use veggie, you know, anything but vegan.
Yeah.
They claim that they believe that veganism is a moral baseline. They claim that they reject happy exploitation. Well, you know what? If they really do reject happy exploitation, if they really do maintain that veganism is a moral baseline, then they ought to withdraw their support. They ought to retract their support. They ought to retract their support for the entire happy meat rating system that they endorsed in 2005. And they should come out and make a statement and say, veganism is the moral baseline. We cannot justify using non-human animals, however well we treat them. We simply can't justify continuing to use them. And we do not promote, and we will not promote, we're not going to promote any of this happy exploitation nonsense. We're not going to support any of these labeling standards, you know, because the five-step program is just one of a number of labeling programs that these organizations, or at least some of these organizations, are involved with. I mean, HSUS and the ASPCA are involved in that other label, that Certified Humane Raised and Handled label. HSUS has its own happy exploitation label, the Humane Choice label. So, I mean, it's time to stop that. It's time to withdraw support for that.
Okay, Gary, stay with us. We have a few more minutes after the break. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. I'd like to be on the air in Chicago and New York. We have to pay for airtime. Please help us. Become a sponsor, advertise, or donate at goveganradio.com. It's Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden. GoVeganRadio.com. And yes, we're trying to get on the air in New York on WWRL and in Chicago, WCPT. Both stations want to run the show. They used to broadcast us when we were on Air America. But that will cost $1,000 a week. So keep that in mind, because I am a poor animal rights activist. So if it's going to happen, it may be you that makes it happen. So we continue on Go Vegan Radio with Bob Linden, talking to Professor Gary Francione, and he and I are trying to bring back a vegan animal rights movement because it's been co-opted by led by the Humane Society of the United States, and it seemed like many groups have been coerced, and they signed a letter years ago supporting happy meat. It's just so much. I mean, Gary, do you look at the HSUS farmer outreach page at all on Facebook? Have you?
Yes, I do, and it's horrifying. It's horrifying. In one sense, it's horrifying, Bob. In another sense, it's what HSUS has been doing forever. I mean, they're doing it more efficiently now than they've ever done.
No, and it's more in the open. So who can support this? Go to the page. If you go to the page, the first thing you see is Farm's Finest, selecting the right side of beef. Wayne Pacelli, the president and CEO of the Humane Society, organized the event with Joe Maxwell. There is Wayne. I guess that would be Joe and somebody else too. They're sitting on a haystack. Wayne Pacelli, not in his Brooks Brothers suit, but looking like a cowboy in his denim. And this, I'm blown away, really.
Well, you know, as I say, Bob, HSUS has been promoting animal welfare, which is the theory that
welfare
it's okay.
is such a the word elevates it, though. I just hate welfare. It's bad fare.
Animal welfare has really nothing to do with welfare. It's a technical term which refers to the view that it's perfectly all right for humans to exploit animals, to treat animals as resources for humans, as long as they treat them humanely. That's the position that was developed several hundred years ago. It's the position that is still dominant now, and it's the position HSUS represents. The problem is that everybody else is now following HSUS. Everybody is a pale imitation of HSUS, so we don't really have organizations that take a different position. They're all basically taking the same position, and they're all supporting. And even if they're not ostensibly taking the same position, they're all supporting the HSUS programs. And you know, I have an essay on my website at abolitionistapproach.com called Animal Welfare Regulation, Happy Exploitation, and Speciesism. And in that, I have a picture. You know, I discuss a number of things, but I take a picture. I present a picture that was right outside my local Whole Foods, and it's a picture of a board advertising organic chicken for $1.99 a pound. And then there's a sign saying Global Animal Partnership Rating Level 2 or whatever it says. And I go on to explain, this is promoted. They're selling chicken with the Global Animal Partnership stamp of approval, and Wayne Pacelle from HSUS is on the board of Global Animal Partnership, and you have all of these organizations that are supporting this happy exploitation, this Whole Foods happy exploitation rating system. So what I would like to ask tonight is I would like to ask all of the folks, I would like to ask the following groups Let me get my letter back here. From the 2005 letter, I'd like Animal Rights International, Animal Welfare Institute, Animal Place, Animal Protection Institute, Association of Vets for Animal Rights, Bay Area Vegetarians, Christian Vegetarian Association, Compassion Over Killing, Doris Day Animal League, East Bay Animal Advocates, Farm Sanctuary, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, Mercy for Animals, Northwest in Defense of Animals, Vegan Outreach, Viva USA, and others that aren't signatories to that particular letter, but that are supporting happy exploitation in other ways, the farm animal rights movement, some of the other groups that you mentioned. I would like to ask them to please repudiate this and make it clear. Veganism is the moral baseline of anything that can credibly be called an animal rights movement, and that we ought to stop supporting happy exploitation. That there ought to be some clear lines here. That, you know, on matters of more fundamental morality like this, we really do need to be very, very clear. And I would ask these groups to make it clear that they are retracting their support for any happy exploitation program, whether it's the Global Animal Partnership, whether it's certified, humane, raised, and handled, or whether it's Humane Choice or whatever, that they're just going to go away from that altogether. By the way, Bob, Eat Like You Care, our book, is number one in animal rights in both the U.S. and the U.K. Amazon sites, and it's only been up for about a day. It's only been available on those sites for about a day. So that's great.
Congratulations. Okay, we'll talk about that, and we'll work on these groups and offer airtime to them and follow up on all of this. Repudiate happy meat. There is none.